Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fay. On today's program, we're going to be talking about a business that sat on Main Street for many, many years. It was a hardware store. It was an appliance store. It was called Von Grunigan's. We'll be talking to its owner, Bobby Knetzer, about the history of Von Grunigan's in just a moment. First, a word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue to remember people and places and things of Jessamine County. With me today, I have a gentleman who was involved with a business here in downtown Nicholasville for many, many years. In fact, I think the business was probably around even before he got involved. It's an old business that we had in a couple of different locations on Main Street, and it was called Von Grunigan's. Now, the fellow I have with me, Bobby Knetzer, ran this store for quite a few years, and he's here to tell us about the history of Von Grunigan's and his involvement. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning.
Glad to have you this morning. Appreciate you coming in.
Good to be here.
We're trying to remember some of the businesses that were and are things about Jessamine County. We have two sets of listeners on this show. We have those who are from here and will recognize you and the store. But we have a lot of people who aren't from here, and they're just learning about us. So this is not only a remembrance program, it's a teaching program, too. Now, Von Grunigan's, did it start out as a hardware store? Because I know there you sold appliances, too, for a long time. How did it start?
Goes back to 1898 is the first part that I can come up with.
Yeah.
And Julius von Grunigan came from Switzerland as a seven-year-old boy in 1873. Came from a place called Gesteg, Switzerland. Mm-hmm. Gestad, all of that area was where Elizabeth Taylor had a she had a chalet there, and Princess Grace had a chalet there. But they all left Switzerland. And they came to Kentucky. They came by the way of Louisville. And there was several families that came at one time. There was the Ellers, the Godfreys, the Kominishes, the von Grunigan's. All of those people came from a little small area in Switzerland because the economy was very poor at that time.
All right. And somehow they just Kentucky just happened.
They got to Louisville, and they started a dairy called Eller's Dairy.
Heard of it? Yeah,
still going.
Still going.
And
sure.
that would have been in 1873.
Okay,
soon after the Civil War.
Yeah,
a bunch of the families left Louisville, and they came over to Lincoln County.
All right,
and Ottenheim. They all settled at Ottenheim.
Yes,
in that area, and out on the Houstonville Road.
And Ottenheim, German word, and von Grunigan, I guess, is that a German descent?
Swiss German.
Okay, all right.
And the Kominishes, see, that's Swiss German. The Gottliebs.
Okay.
And there were some other families that I can't come up with right now.
Okay.
Anyway, they all came there, and some way or another, Julius von Grunigan came to Nicholasville. And he started working at this hardware store. Mm-hmm. And at that time, it was Simpson Hardware Store.
Okay.
And it was on Main Street at 104 North Main, right in front of the courthouse.
Right.
And he stayed on the corner. There was a boarding house on the corner of York and Maple Street.
All right.
On the east-north side. Which later on became Wendell Reynolds Liquor Store.
So you sell the northeast side. It's a parking lot now, I guess.
Yeah, it's
got a fence around it.
Yeah. Got a fence around it.
And for reference, you mentioned the 104 North Main. That is now the Commonwealth Attorney's Office.
That's right. Okay. Tommy Lockridge.
Okay.
He was staying there, and he met Mary Lou Smithers.
Mm-hmm. Now, was she kin to Mr. Smithers, who was in with the Betts and Smithers Funeral Home? Do you know?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So he met her.
Yes. He met her, and they married.
Yeah.
And they had two kids. One was named John von Grunigan, and he was born January in 1904.
So he was a true Jessamine County boy.
Yes.
Okay.
And he had a sister, and her name was Frances von Grenigen.
Yeah.
And she later married Levin Young McCarty,
okay,
who also at that one time owned the Jessamine Journal.
Okay.
Julius von Grenigen bought into the hardware store. It was Simpson and mm-hmm. von Grenigen's from 1898 to somewhere in around 1906 or 7 or 8 or 9, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Then Julius bought Simpson out.
Yeah.
So he continued to operate the hardware store. It was more than a hardware store because we had the farm implement business also.
All right.
And at that time, it was called McCormick Farm Implement Business.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it became later McCormick Deering.
Yes.
Then it became later Farmall.
Okay.
Then it became later International Harvester. As the years went on.
Yeah.
And so Julius von Grenigen ran the hardware store. John von Grenigen worked in there as a young man. And in December of 1934, Julius von Grenigen died. And John von Grenigen continued to have the hardware store, which he operated for his mother, his sister, and himself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then later on bought them out somewhere in the 40s.
Was it von Grenigen's, by the time that Julius died, had it changed the name?
I think it changed in 1908 or something.
When he bought it.
Yeah, when he bought it.
Okay. All right. So John's got it, and he's got it all now.
He's got it all after 1941 or two, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So he continued to operate it, and then he also operated the farm implement business, which was by then called International Harvester, mm-hmm. Which was on York Street.
Okay.
In back of the 104 North Main Street.
Okay,
back on York Street.
Where we were talking about that parking lot.
Yeah, where the parking lot. Well, they do the teaching there now with that little parking lot.
Oh, yeah, the driver's testing, and there's a little block building back there, and Windstream used to be GTE's, got their trucks.
Absolutely.
And all that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. That was the parts house. That's where the farm implement parts house was, that little block building. He built that in, I think, in 46 or 7, the block building, which is still there.
Still there.
Yeah. When I came in the family in 1954, I started working there November 1, mm-hmm. 1954.
Mm-hmm.
And so I worked for my father-in-law until 63.
Okay, well, before you go on, let's stop that right there and talk a little bit about Bobby. Where were you born? When were you born, and who's your parents, and how did you make it here?
I grew up in Madison County until I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
Then went to school over at Wilmore. We moved to Wilmore.
Oh, all right. So you graduated from Wilmore High?
We graduated from Wilmore High School, 1953.
Yeah.
So then I went to school at UK for a bit.
Yeah.
And then got married.
Okay.
And
that's how you got into this business. So did that pretty much happen right after your UK days? Or did you have a career before that?
No.
So it was straight from school into this?
Yeah. Well, actually, I worked at the Kroger store here on North Main Street.
Do you know how many people that we have interviewed on this show that has a connection to that Kroger store? We just interviewed, I'm trying to think who we had. Oh, I know who it was. And as we just had their show on a couple of weeks ago. We did a show on Letcher Watts at Watts Supply, and he worked there, too, for a long time.
Letcher was there when I went there in 1952.
So was Ned Leach still manager when
Ned
you were
Leach
there?
Ned Leach hired me as he was the manager.
Wow. And so you worked with the people that we've named before. You were with Cookie and Dub Hunter and Rachel Arnold and
Mildred Collins.
Mildred LeMay.
Evelyn LeMay.
Yeah.
Johnny LeMay.
Did Dan Stocker work there with you?
Dan Stocker was there a little bit before I was.
Yeah. That's a heck of a crew, right? But now this store, Bobby, will tell people again, is down the street from us in the long building by Farmers Bank. There's a parking lot between it now.
Yes.
But at one time you had buildings there, Rob Hardware and some others. But it's that long building, and was the new Kroger. It started across the street from us over here.
Yes.
But I remember we did a show with Terry Leach about Kroger, and she was telling us about when that opened, that it was shopping buggies that people weren't used to. And,
absolutely.
And it was high tech back then, wasn't it?
It was.
What did you do?
I worked on Saturdays mostly because I was going to school.
Yeah.
So I sacked groceries.
Yeah.
Stocked shelves.
Yeah.
Did stuff like that.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you did that. You got out of UK and you got married, and you're all of a sudden in the family-owned hardware business, which you knew. Did you know anything about, or was that?
Not really.
From start learning thing.
Just got into it.
So did you just work there as an employee? Was you a were you a manager? Or how did that all happen?
Just an employee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You must have liked it.
Oh, yeah. It was fun. Yeah. Garrett Foster was working there. He'd been there since back in the 20s. And we had a bookkeeper, Alice Hughes. Mm-hmm. She'd been there since back in, I'm going to say, 15, 18, something like that.
Wow.
So she stayed there for 53 or 4 years. Garrett Foster worked there for over 60 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, at what point in time did John leave us?
Okay. He died in December of 1963.
Okay. Did he still own it all?
He still owned it all.
But
now, we sold the farm implement business in December of 55.
Okay. So that
part. To Clara Despain and Marlon Mars.
And that became Mars and Despain, which. The last location of that was up on North Main, past where Walmart is now, there on the right.
But they kept it where we had it for
down here.
10 or 12 years.
Yeah.
Because I know your grandfather bought implements from
us. Gosh, yes.
And,
So
I think that was me. They rented the buildings from us over there until, I would say, late 60s, mm-hmm. when they moved up on North Main Street. Mm-hmm. And then we sold it to the telephone company.
Right, right.
That's when they bought that property from us behind there.
When you, we'll just pick the time, when John left this world and Von Grunigan is in business, farm implement is gone. Just tell us typical stock in Von Grunigan's. What could a person walk in there and buy?
Well, we had paint, we had housewares, we had hardware, we had appliances, we had sporting goods. I sold a few guns and fishing materials and stuff like that.
Now, as time went on, though, that you scaled back because I remember it best with appliances.
Well, that happened much later.
Much later.
Yeah.
So you did all these things.
Yes.
One of the things, too, Bobby, that we have talked on this program about with several different people, and I think the discussion kind of started when we talked to Terry Leach and later to a couple of Cleveland Thompson's daughters, is the number of grocery stores that were on Main Street.
Oh,
now, what I'm leading into is there was also a number of stores on Main that kind of sold the same thing you all did.
Absolutely.
You got Western Auto, and you had
Firestone,
and you got
Hunter Hardware.
Did Hunter, I forgot about. What about Bourne? Did they sell stuff like that too?
Johnny Bourne was straight across the street.
Right across the street.
Yeah.
And the discussion we're having, and what is so amazing to me, is how that many businesses that sold pretty much the same thing survived.
Yeah.
But they did.
That we did. Yeah.
But they did.
Yeah.
And it's truly amazing. And the nice thing about it, and I think I'm right, is the fact that even though you were in a competition, everybody knew each other. It was hometown. Everybody was friends. And, you know,
we used to borrow things from each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to go over at Johnny Bowen's, and if I ran out of stovepipe putting up a stove, I'd go over there and borrow 4 or 5 pieces of stovepipe. Or he'd come over to my store and borrow whatever he needed.
And that's the way it should be.
Yeah, about once a month we'd try to settle up, or once every few months we'd try to settle up.
And it worked fine.
Oh, it worked great.
Worked great.
Yeah.
All right, so in 63, I think you said, Mr. Van Grunigan passed away. Take us on from there.
Okay, in 63, I ran the store for a little while. And then in the late 60s, I bought my mother-in-law out, Elizabeth Van Grunigan.
Right, right.
And that would have been, I think, 68.
Are you completely?
Yeah.
At that point, Bobby Knetzer owned it all.
Well, and Sarah.
Oh, okay.
She came in the half of the store.
Okay, okay.
So I bought my mother-in-law out, so we owned the store together.
Yeah, okay.
And then in 1970, I realized that being an independent hardware store was going to be awfully hard to continue on.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I joined a co-op bank called True Value Hardware.
Yes, very prominent name.
And over the United States, there were like 7,000 hardware stores, mm-hmm. and we had terrific buying power.
Right.
By doing that, I had to buy stock in the True Value Hardware Company, And then we did all of our co-op buying through True Value. So what they would do is they would send you some brochures out saying how many of this item, how many of that item do you want?
Yeah.
Then they'd pool all those items together. Then they would go to a company like Black & Decker and say, we've got an order for 400,000 quarter-inch drills.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of a price are we going to get? So that was that type of
buying. Wow. And that way you could pass the savings to the consumer.
Yeah. Because, see, we would wind up as a group buying tools from Black & Decker, or just using Black & Decker as an example.
Right.
And we would maybe buy maybe $500 million worth of tools in a year's time.
Yeah.
So it became big business.
Big business.
And they had distribution centers. I was serviced out of Indianapolis or Atlanta, either one. So that worked out really well because it became really good group buying. Well, in 1975, Cleveland Thompson had built a new grocery store out on South Main Street.
That's right. Let's kind of give some people a little history about that to tie all this in. Door up from where you had Von Grunigan's, there was a place that in recent times has been Emmett Hendren's paint store and Brewer's restaurant, but at one time that was Thompson's Market.
That was Thompson's Market back in the 40s.
Back in the 40s.
Yes.
And then next door was Cumley's, which they eventually tore that
between
building.
Between Cumley's and Thompson, there was an old cream station in there.
Okay.
Betts and Mrs. Betts, Charlotte Betts, so
okay.
Betts and West
had that.
She had that cream station
okay.
in there.
That building, though, original building, the way I understand it, was brought down, and they built another building there. Now, Thompson then decided to go build Edgewood Plaza, if you will. They built the new food town, and that's when Edgewood Church was put up. They had a Dairy Queen out there. Not a Dairy Queen, but a dairy bar, laundromat, the Drug Mart, all that. So they left.
Yes.
And you were still located, though, up here on 104 North Main, where the Commonwealth Attorney is.
Yes.
That's when you said, I got more room. I got to do this.
I got to get more room.
There you go. And that's when you made that move.
So, and Cleveland wanted to sell his building.
Yeah.
Because he had his grocery store out there.
Right.
And he didn't need two this close together.
Right.
So he came to me, and we got together, and I bought the building in August of 75.
Yeah.
Then they were completely vacated in December of 75. So I moved into that building between Christmas and New Year's of 75 to 76.
Now, Bobby, when you're looking at the front of that building now, immediately to the left of it, the little building that's next to what is now the hole.
Yes.
used to be Buford
Johns. The two-story part.
Yeah. Was that with it?
Yes.
Okay, that was, when you got it, you got all that.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it, it almost makes you think it's two separate buildings. And I guess in a way it was.
Actually, it was three separate buildings.
Really?
Uh-huh. There was the old cream station, and then there was a Cumley's, Oscar Cumley's.
Yeah.
And then the building next door was a storage for Oscar Cumley's, which was completely different.
And that was the one that was next door to Buford Johns, I guess.
Next door to Buford Johns.
Okay. So now I'm straight. So you get in this brand new building. Now, were you able to do some expansion as far as your product line?
Yeah. See, I went from about 2,000 square feet to somewhere around 6,500 square feet.
Took a lot more stuff to fill that up, didn't it?
So it took a lot more. So then I expanded the appliance business, and I explained that everything in the store, I took much more of everything.
Now, did you deal with a certain appliance company? You know, I know we were talking about, we did Letch Watts. I think he was GE, but did you have any one particular one that you pushed, or were you kind of everybody?
Well, we were at one time the oldest Maytag dealer in Kentucky.
Okay.
We started selling Maytag in February of 1926 at the 104 North Main Street.
Right.
We started selling Kelvinator back about in the late teens.
Yeah.
And we had Zenith. We had that product.
Yeah.
Of course, that was all they made them, was big stand-up radios and stuff like that. We were a Hoover dealer, sold Hoover sweepers, and we were private dealers. But then when later on, I started expanding into more lines, like Westinghouse, Kelvinator, and then got Frigidaire back in the 70s.
Right.
But we kept Maytag all the way through until we closed the business.
When you look at that side, and you just reminded me of something, that side of Main Street,
mm-hmm.
and just doing some remembering. And the reason I'm bringing this up, because I need to ask you, see if you help me remember. I know Heathman's was up on the corner, and I know you had Ann's Beauty Shop in there, and you had Bulldog Hendren at later days with his paint store, and you had you, and you had Mr. John's. And I just now remember, because you said Zenith, it reminded me that you had Kenneth Witt stuck in there somewhere.
Still up there at the little where the Euro bar place is.
That's where Euros is now. That was Kenneth Witt.
Yes.
But help me remember what was on the corner.
Carl Bruner's had a bar on the corner.
Okay.
He was there. Actually, he was there for many, many, many years until he bought the little building on the back behind my store.
Yes.
On York Street.
Yes, which still stands.
And then he moved his business back there. Okay. Actually, he had just a restaurant bar.
Yeah.
All right. He's made some of the best food you ever put in your mouth.
And, of course, across the street, once you made the move.
Yeah.
You had one of the most popular businesses of all time.
Absolutely.
In fact, I think I've told this story before. We have a Facebook page, and we remember Jessamine County, and we ran a poll one time. And we said, if you could have any business that used to be open just one day.
Yeah.
And we named several, and then they could add their own. And it was a runaway. I mean, the gap between first and second was amazing. And number one was Ward's Bakery. And you had that right across the street from you.
Jack Ward made the best salt rising bread in the United States.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time we would go someplace to visit somebody from Nicholasville, they'd always say, don't you come unless you bring me four or five loaves of Jack Ward's salt rising.
Isn't that something?
That was the way it was.
You know, Bobby, you remember downtown the way it used to be in its heyday. We were progressing, and that's good to a point. But the way it used to be, things have changed so very much in this 1, 2, 3, 4 block area that we have, we call downtown. Some good times and some good people that are gone now, and a lot of businesses that people forget about, too.
Oh, yeah. Just going back on Main Street, you were talking about Heathman's. Next door was to Heathman's up there. Rice Davis, Wilmore Crutcher, they had a little store in there. They sold gas appliances and stuff like that. Then next door to them, Clark Overstreet, George Overstreet's father, they had a service station in there.
Yeah, and the pump's right up on the sidewalk.
And then next down to them was Dr. Neal. He had a place in there at one time. And then next to Dr. Neal's later on became the first office for Delta Gas Company in 1955.
All right.
And then next to them was Ann's Beauty Shop. Now, that went back a long time also.
Yeah, it did.
And then next to Ann's was, of course, Cleveland Thompson's back in the 40s. And before that, it was a feed store. Brady Teeter and and there's a fellow out on Danville Road that had a feed store in there and where Cleveland and Henry came in. Cleveland and Henry came in there, I think, in 44, 45, or 6, right in there.
You mentioned Brady Teeter. If we had a dollar for every gallon of water he'd hauled and every quarter he'd given away, because he used to give quarters to all the kids.
Absolutely.
And loved to dance. You're bringing back some names here that are just... great in our community. Now you continued on with the store. We're up in the 70s, I think, is where we left off.
I moved there and actually opened there in January of 76.
Yeah.
And I continued to operate there until 90, and then I bought the other half of the store.
Right.
In 90, I also bought a building across the street. It was the Oddfellows Building.
Yeah.
And it's still up. There's a sign up there that says IOOF, International Order of the Oddfellows.
Right.
I bought that from the Oddfellows because they closed the Oddfellow position here in Nicholasville.
Right.
And they own, and the main office was in Carrollton, Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
And the guy came down. And Emmett had been renting that part to go with the paint store across the street.
I forgot about your,
It was Cole and Blevins paint store.
Yes.
And then when Mr. Cole wanted to get out and Mr. Blevins wanted to get out, Emmett came back from Lexington, who he worked for, Sherwin Williams in Lexington.
Uh-huh.
And then he came back from Lexington and he took his dad's old store.
Yeah.
His
dad
opened over there, I think, I'm going back and I think I'm right, maybe 26, 25 or 26. Mm-hmm. So it was Hendren's paint store. Then when Mr. Hendren died, Mrs. Hendren sold it to her brother, who was Mr. Cole.
Okay.
And Mr. Cole took in Mr. Blevins as a partner. Mm-hmm. And then Emmett came back somewhere in, I would say it must have been in the late 60s or the early 70s. Then he rent out a room across the street, but he was also renting the Oddfellow building downstairs, and they had their meetings upstairs. So when he moved across the street, he said, I don't need that building anymore. I don't need all of it. So he and I shared the building. I took the back half of the building. He took the front half, and I think we kept using it for storage. Both of us used it for storage for probably 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Then he added on to the back of his building that he had across the street.
Right.
And when he added that on, he didn't need any
didn't
of
need it.
So
yeah.
I took it.
Yeah.
Because I needed all of it for my storage with appliances, because at that time I was buying appliances by the truckloads. And I needed that building, but it was hard taking them across, bringing them back.
Sure. Across, and I've seen you. I can remember seeing you on a dolly.
Rolling them over.
Rolling a stove back and forth. Yeah.
So anyway, when I bought that in, it was either 89 or 90, I kept it for a few years. I kept it to 2001. And then I sold it to Billy Mike Jacobs. And I extended my building back into my parking lot so that I didn't have to carry them across the road.
Right.
So then I kept that going. But in 95, I closed up the hardware business.
Yeah.
And I became
just
strictly appliance store. And then in 95, I also took my brother in as a partner, Roger Knetzer. And then we operated, and I also took Richard Knetzer in for a small portion.
Yeah.
So we operated from 95 to 2009. September 2009 is when I closed the store.
Well, a lot changed in those 50 years, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. See, I was on Main Street from 52 until 2009. So I was on Main Street for 57 years.
Wow.
Working either Kroger store or Von Gröningen Hardware or at the appliance store.
A lot changed.
Yep.
And some characters I remember. I cannot not think of Von Gröningen's unless I think about some of the characters that used to hang around and just talk.
Yeah.
And during the day in your show, there was, okay, we mentioned Dan Stocker and Bud Smock. You could not have had a more colorful guy than him. There was also a fellow that hung, and I can't remember his name. He was a nurse.
Benny Harp.
Wore white.
Yeah.
Every time I saw him, I guess it was his nursing outfit maybe. But you had, that was kind of became the place for a certain group of guys to just come and drink a cup of coffee and have a good time.
Well, see, a hardware store is always that type
sure.
of place.
Yeah.
When we were at 104 North Main Street, we used to have a big old coal stove in the back. And we had about six chairs sitting around that. But then when we remodeled the store in the late 50s, we took the coal stove out and put a furnace in. And then Joe Robb became the place to...
Yeah, down on the other end of Main.
Yeah. So he had about seven or eight chairs. And after I moved up to 114 South Main Street, where I had the hardware store, Joe Robb called me one morning. And Joe said, Bobby, said, I've got something I want to give you. I said, Joe, what do you want to give me? He said, I want to give you a stove, and I want to give you 10 chairs. I said, what would I do with a stove and 10 chairs? But he said, there is a catch to it. He said, you've got to take all these people sitting in these chairs down here, like Percy Monahan, Hugh Logan Scott, Bill Parks.
Right, yeah.
He said, they all have got to go because they're driving me crazy.
And he was one of a kind, too.
Joe was a great person.
He sure was. Well, Bobby, believe it or not, our time is gone. You have covered well the history of Von Gröningen's, and I will say that because of you and your dedication to that business, along with people like the Thompsons and Joe Robb and Jack Ward and Emmett and all those, you're the ones that kept the economy of this town going and kept people jobs. And how many meals have been served either with food out of refrigerators you sold or stoves you sold and things that have been fixed with the hardware. And you know, it was just a great time. back then, and one that you could get along with your competitors. You knew everybody in town. If they needed something at 6 o'clock at night, they could call you and you'd take care of them. And we just appreciate the fact that we had people like you and business owners like you that were dedicated to our town and our county. And while there are people nowadays that still help, it's not like it used to be, but we could use a whole lot more of the way it used to be. Yeah. And I think things would be a whole lot better.
And not that Nicholasville carried all products, because there were certain things you couldn't get in Nicholasville. But so many people back in those days would wait till you ordered it for them.
Right.
And get it in, because they wouldn't go to Lexington to buy it.
Right. Yeah, you know, that was a special treat to go to Lexington.
Yeah. They'd want to take care of their own hometown.
That's right. Well, thank you for coming. Appreciate it.
Glad to do it.
And glad to get this show in and keep it on record so that we can always remember Von Grunigan's Hardware and you and all the work you did. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you inviting me. Thank you very much.
My thanks to Bobby Knetzer for coming in and sharing information with us about a business that used to be Von Grunigan's Hardware. We'll do all things Jessamine once again next Saturday morning. We appreciate you joining us every week as we learn more about Jessamine County. We do it right here on Jess FM 105.9.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.